I want to look this morning at one of the most famous Christmas verses there is, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. So if you want to turn over there, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. We're going to look at the birth and the baby, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. There's a worn-out sermon illustration. Ron Patterson has used it many times and heard it many more times, as I have. So I'm going to wear it out some more. This little boy and his dad were walking through the yard, and they came on an anthill, and the little boy just decided to kick over the anthill and stomp on all the ants. Okay, I guess that's better than pouring gas down the anthill and setting it on fire. How many of you have ever done that? Ah, some of you. Okay, so then he sees all the dead ants and all the crippled ants and the damage he's done, so he feels sorry about it. So he said, "I really feel bad. I wish I could tell the ants I'm sorry." And the dad says, "Well, the only way you could ever do that is to become an ant. And if you were to become an ant, then you could tell the other ants, you could talk to them in ant language and tell them how sorry you are." And that's basically the story of the birth of Jesus. God had a message for people, but God had to become a person to deliver that message and to die for the sins of the world. The virgin birth is one of the most important things in history. Red Book Magazine did a survey in 1961, now that was 60 years ago. Major Protestant seminaries and theological schools. And over half the students did not believe in the virgin birth. Over half the students did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And over half of the seminary students, the future ministers of America, did not believe that Jesus was literally coming again. If you read William Barclay's commentary, Barclay will tell you that Jesus was an illegitimate son of a Roman soldier named Publius. I'm glad we know Jesus real dead now, okay? But the Baptist Confession of 1689, the first really official belief of Baptists, the 1689 Confession, this is kind of long, but listen to how scriptural it is. "The Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, being very and eternal God, the brightness of the Father's glory, of one substance and equal with him, who made the world, who upholdeth and governeth all things he hath made, did, when the fullness of time was come, take upon him man's nature, with all the essential properties and common infirmities thereof, yet without sin. Be conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the Holy Ghost coming down upon her, the power of the Most High overshadowing her, and was so made of a woman of the tribe of Judah, of the seed of Abraham and David, according to the scriptures, so that two whole, perfect, and distinct natures were inseparably joined together in one person, without conversion, composition, or confusion, which person is very God and very man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and men." The virgin birth of Christ. Look at Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Some people combine those to be Wonderful Counselor. "The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, Jewish people, if you read the Targums, the Jewish interpretation of this is that King Ahaz, the ruler of the northern kingdom of Israel, and Isaiah was the prophet, had asked for a sign. God said he would send a sign. That sign is recorded in chapter 7, Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And they say, oh, this is a prophecy that King was going to have a baby boy. And the baby boy was born, so this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Well, you know, I never had a boy, I had a girl. But I would never call my girl God with us, okay? Even though she's a pretty good daughter. This is a prophecy of the Messiah. They asked for a sign, and God said, I'll give you a sign. He didn't say when it was going to come. He didn't say it was right then. Actually, the northern kingdom of Israel fell in 722 BC to the Assyrians. And so this sign was given 800 years before the birth of Jesus. God doesn't work on the same timetable we do. But Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. No son of King Ahaz would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This has to be a messianic prophecy, and it was. Now, the child was the only hope of Israel, God with us. And he's still the only hope of Israel and the Jews. But the child was going to be the only hope of the world. A poet wrote, they were looking for a king to defeat their foes and lift them high. Then came a little baby thing that made a woman cry. Looking for the wrong kind of person coming the first time. Now, Spurgeon makes a big deal about this verse. He says, behold, a child is born, a son is given. The child is the human nature of Jesus. Jesus came as a baby, the son of Mary. Unto us a child is born, a baby is born, a human baby is born. Unto us a son is given. He was also the Son of God. And you have to decide what you're going to do with the Son of God. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life. All right. A child is born, a son is given, the birth and the baby. Warren Wiersbe has a little Bible handbook called With the Word. He has a little blurb on each chapter of the Bible. He says this, virgin birth of Jesus Christ is a basic doctrine of the Christian faith, for the Son of God could never be born as you were born. Every baby is a new creation, but Jesus Christ existed from eternity. He was not only born, but he came into the world. According to Isaiah 9:6, a child was born, his human nature, and the Son was given his divine nature. The Holy Son of God cannot partake in sinful human nature. His body was miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. He did no sin. 1 Peter 2:22, in him there is no sin. 1 John 3:5, he knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Some people want to talk about the word virgin. When the Revised Standard Version came out, we all knew it was communist because it had a red cover. It did have a red cover, guys. I heard people preach against it because it had a red cover. But it translated the word virgin as young woman. Now, basically, that's what the word means, except that if you weren't a virgin and you were a young woman, they stoned you to death. So, yeah, if you were still alive, you were a virgin as a young woman. Okay? There are two words for woman. Virgin in Hebrew. So, yeah, Mary was a virgin. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God came in the flesh. Hebrews 1:3, he was the brightness of God's glory. He's the express image of God's person. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the birth. Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. The virgin birth. Matthew Henry said, as he was the lamb slain, so he was the baby born. And we believe that, and we celebrate that. Parthagenao, to give birth without having relations, is the meaning of the Greek word, and that's the word that's used for this. The birth, God came into the world to identify with us. Romans 5:21, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Philippians chapter 2, he took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. The birth, born to die that men might live, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, the birth and the baby, the fivefold glory of Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, what Jesus is now. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is a counselor. If you look in my study, I'm very proud of a painting that Eileen ordered for me. It's called Jesus the Counselor. And it's Jesus sitting in a chair with a businessman giving him advice. Jesus the Counselor. Check it out. You can see it through the door. If you don't want to come into my office, by the way, if you come in, take off your shoes. That's holy ground. I'm kidding. All right. You can look at it through the door. It's on the back wall. Jesus the Counselor. Okay, but that's what he is now. What has he always been? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. What will he be when he comes to earth again? He will be the Prince of Peace. There will not only be no more crying nor pain, there will not be any wars and rumors of wars or pestilences or famines or natural disasters when the Prince of Peace comes back. So these five titles deal with the past, the present, and the future. But when you look at it, he is wonderful. He's wonderful in his perfect life. Hebrews 7:26, he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, eternal in the heavens. Holy, harmless, undefiled. He is wonderful in his purpose. He came to save us. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them that are lost. He is wonderful in his person. He is a friend, a companion. Matthew 28:20b, don't you love it? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world or the age. Lo, I am with you always. He is wonderful, marvelous, matchless, incomparable, amazing, astounding, great, terrific. He is wonderful. He is also counselor. John 6:63, these things which I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Jesus told the Pharisees one day, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Wow, counselor. There are only four lists of sins in the New Testament. If you want to do biblical counseling, get those lists. And what does the Bible say about how to deal with each one? Basic root problems in people's lives. The self-image problem. We are complete in him who is head over all principality and power. Philippians 2:10 or Colossians 2:10. We are complete in him. Can the pot say to the potter, why have you made me thus? Everybody looks in the mirror is not happy with what they see. I should put that a different way. Nobody is happy with what they see. I would change this. I would change that. I would want straight hair. I love straight hair. Some of you hate straight hair. Okay? I would like to not have gray. Some of you, your gray looks really good. Mine, not so much, guys. Okay? Every one of us would look in the mirror and change something. I warn my students, you're a teenager, that butterfly tattoo, it ain't gonna look like a butterfly when you're 80. Well, I love to lay out in the sun. Great, you can be a walking skin cancer one day. Yeah. Amazing. Counselor. Happy are ye if you do them. Someone called up Dr. Gray at First Baptist New Orleans one time and said, I don't understand the book of Revelation. He said, neither do I. Get back in Matthew. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. He is the wonderful counselor. What about guidance? Psalm 32:8. I will seek thee and I will guide thee in the way that thou shalt go. What about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Wow. Charles Spurgeon said, the counsel of God is from all eternity, and no one purpose has he ever altered. Isaiah 28:29 says, this also cometh from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel, excellent in working. Wow. He is wonderful. He is counselor. He is the mighty God, El Gabur in Hebrew. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went abroad doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, the mighty God, the wonder-working, the miracle-working God. Look at the miracles of Jesus. Yeah, I'll do that. Thought came to mind. You know that verse in John 1:1, he came into his own and his own received him not. You know that verse. Okay, the first own is neuter in Greek. The second own is masculine. The first own, he came into his own, neuter. He came into his own creation. The second one is masculine, and his own people came and received him not. You realize that nature obeyed Jesus? All of nature obeyed Jesus. The only part of God's creation that disobeyed Jesus were people. Came into his own creation, his own people received him not. The miracles of Jesus over nature, he calmed the storm, he cursed the fig tree, he turned the water to wine. Miracles of nature, miracles of sickness, he healed the lame, the blind, the sick, Peter's mother-in-law. How do we know Peter was married? Never says Peter was married. Said Peter had a mother-in-law. That'll do it. You understand the term mixed emotions? That's where your mother-in-law drives off a cliff in your new Cadillac? Mixed emotions. Behind every successful man is a strong woman and a surprised mother-in-law. All right. He ruled nature. He ruled sickness. He ruled death. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Luke 1:37, all things are possible with God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He came into his own creation, his own people received him not. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Number four, the Everlasting Father. Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and diverse manners has spoken to us in times past, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his dear Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he created the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, Socrates, he's the father of philosophy. Homer, the blind poet, is the father of poetry, or the Iliad and the Odyssey. Herodotus is the father of history. Galen is the father of medicine. Sir Francis Bacon is the father of modern science. Rene Descartes is the father of modern philosophy. There are a lot of fathers, okay? But God is the everlasting father, the father who has always been and the father who's always going to be. He is the everlasting Father. One reason he's the everlasting father is he is from everlasting to everlasting. But another reason he is everlasting father is because he begets us unto eternal life. The eternal father gives us eternal life. Now, I think it's hilarious that some churches think they can take away your salvation. That's what excommunication is, a man taking away the eternal life God has given you. I think that's hilarious that a human could take away the work of God. I give unto you eternal life, and ye shall never perish, Jesus said. He is the everlasting Father. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. And he is the Prince of Peace. Now, there are a lot of different kinds of peace. We're going to talk about that the Sunday before Christmas. We'll talk about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But there is a personal peace, a calm, a confidence inside. There is a personal peace because he's the Prince of Peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. There is a peace of mind and heart. There is a powerful peace that brings people together. The church with the Jews and Gentiles, Ephesians 2:18. He is our peace who have made us one and broken down the wall between us. There is the prophetic peace of the future. He will be the Prince of Peace when he comes back because he's going to end all this war and strife. At that time, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will be a prophetic peace. John Milton, the blind poet that wrote Paradise Lost, but peaceful was the night, therein the Prince of Light, his reign of peace upon the earth began. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is wonderful. There is no possession he cannot surpass. He is Counselor. There is no problem he cannot handle. He is Mighty God. There is no power he cannot subdue. He is Everlasting Father. There is no period of time he does not span. And he is the Prince of Peace. There is no person he cannot save. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It happened historically, and it happens personally when we ask Jesus to come into our heart. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. That's what God asks us to do. God asks us to accept Jesus into our heart to be the mighty God in our life and to give us peace, peace with God and the peace of God. He is the Prince of Peace. If you don't know Jesus this morning, you need to. And if you do know Jesus this morning, we're going to sing a hymn of commitment. We're going to sing His Name is Wonderful. Hymn number 203, His Name is Wonderful. Betty's going to come to the organ. Dawn is going to come to the piano. This is a great song, and it really brags on Jesus, which is what a lot of gospel songs do. A lot of our singing is bragging on God, who he is, what he does, and bragging on Jesus, who he is and what he does. So let's stand together and sing number 203, His Name is Wonderful.